Welcome to today's podcast. It's worth considering. Does it seem to you that life is a bit out of control? Well, if you think so, you're not alone. This short podcast is to help all of us consider the teachings of Christ, even in these out of control times. I am Pastor David, the assistant pastor at Bethel Gilead Community Church, also known as the Church on Block Road. My co-host for this discussion is Daniel Anderson. We are going to be discussing, are you woke? Are you aware of what is coming our way? It may or may not be Christ's return, but it is a preeminent threat to Christian values and the American culture. We are going to be discussing this age-old conflict, where it comes from, and what's really behind this anti-God rebellion.
I'm reminded of Paul's words that says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. But ideology is not flesh and blood.
Right.
And so no matter if we call it Marxism today, what it was in Babylon, or what it was when the children of Israel laid their babies on Molech's arms, okay, yeah, is an ideology that goes all the way back to the book of Genesis. And the devil is the one who is propagating it, mm-hmm, to destroy what God desires greatest. And that
exactly
is bless the creation in humanity.
Right. Yeah, whatever words you want to put on it, however you interpret it with, you know, facts presently, who cares in a sense? Like the Illuminati, the Freemasons, the communists, the oligarchy, the one percenters, you know, the banksters, whatever. I'm not so interested in the terminology, but hopefully you take it for real that Satan has planned to destroy humanity, always has, still is, right now, and he always has had his agents. Who exactly they are right now? Well, whatever. That's not so much the point.
Yeah, the names can change, don't they?
The names change.
Just like people change, but the mission of what this spiritual battle going on hasn't changed, and it will not.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we need to take our faith for real. I mean, you know, your wife was saying earlier that, you know, she remembers back in high school when they would really teach the, you know, end time stuff.
Oh, yeah, the Left Behind. That was in the 80s when.
Right.
And Jim Rodebaugh at First Alliance was always good about, hey, here's the latest. This is what, you know, the military can do. How does this line up with the end times and prophecy? And
yeah.
And I think, of course, he was off the mark at some point.
Sure.
But the idea that he as a watchman.
Yeah.
He was always watching and letting people know what's going on. The battle is real.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, so often he would get mocked. Or Christians like that really would emphasize about the end times.
Oh, yeah, they're the doomsday people, right?
Yeah, oh, come on. You said Jesus is coming back. I've been saying that forever. Come on, let's party, you know? But I mean, for me, and I'm saying this to somebody, I don't believe in the rapture, except when Jesus finally comes back.
Right.
I'm not a pre-tribber.
You're a good Catholic.
I'm a good Catholic, yeah.
So when you
most
gave
of your audience right now says, we'll be praying for you. And that's fine. You know what? I need it. I receive that.
So, but
no,
okay.
But I don't poo-poo it. Because you know what, though? He cared.
He's coming back, right? It's a matter of when.
Well, Tim LaHaye, yeah, he will too.
But he's coming back. It's just a matter of when.
You're talking about Jesus or
Tim
LaHaye?
I'm talking about Jesus. He's coming back. Yeah, right. If it's pre-trib, mid-trib, or not at all.
Yeah, he's coming back. That's
he's
right.
He's coming back to set up his kingdom.
I don't poo-poo this stuff because you know what? Christians like that, like your wife was talking about back when she was in high school many, many decades ago. She's not going to listen to this, is she?
Oh, I don't know. Probably.
Uh-oh. Okay.
Go ahead. She'll love it.
but I don't poo-poo this. I don't mock these people who wrote their books and, oh, maybe they did make a lot of money on the books. Whatever. Anyway, you know what? Christians now, so often, don't seem to be saying, like, come soon, Lord Jesus, with expectation. You know, Christians like that who are into that stuff, maybe they got some of their eschatology in a way that I don't agree with. Okay, whatever. But you know what? They were excited about Jesus coming back.
That's right. They were looking.
Yeah.
They wanted to make sure that they were ready.
Yeah.
And so today, where we live in, today, we live in a different time.
So
today,
you want to mock them? You want to laugh at them? Go ahead. But guess what? Are you the one who's enthusiastic about understanding Revelation, Ezekiel, Daniel, biblical prophecy, in your hopes of looking forward to the return of Christ and of your realization of the spiritual battle going on right now? Because if you're not, you know, right, mock me too.
You see what the difference is, though, and it was just kind of interesting. You know, in the 70s and the 80s and the Left Behind time, we were all scared that we're going to be left when the rapture would come. Now,
life is filled with guns and wars.
Yeah.
And but, everyone got tried. Can I keep singing?
No, but let me make this point. Today, there's a threat that's different, but it provokes us to think about where are we going? And the threat is that we're seeing our culture dismantle.
Yes.
We're seeing everything that we thought was rock solid.
Yes.
Like the family and what marriage and what a boy was or a girl with. Everything is being turned upside down.
Yep.
And that's the threat that we are now looking at and go, whoa, how can this be happening?
Mm-hmm.
And so we're looking at scripture and saying, yeah, we're in the end times, and I'm not looking for Christ's return to save me. I'm looking at, we could be going through some heavy persecution here.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, some people won't accept the idea that we are in the end times. And even if they don't, okay, that's fine. So long as they're looking in eager expectation, like, come soon, Lord Jesus. Because you know what? Who knows? I don't know. Maybe there'll be an EMP that's going to go off, and it's going to set America back to the Middle Ages or the 1800s.
Well, sure, I tell you.
And we'll have a great revival, but actually Jesus isn't coming back for another 2,500 years. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't claim to
know. A great reset, all right? It's not as though we cannot look back in history and see great reset.
Yeah.
You know, when you talk about the Middle Ages, or as some would call it, the Dark Ages. And that was when all of a sudden civilization under the Roman rule, which had its engineering and had everything that it was doing, all of a sudden was taken over by the barbarians.
Yeah.
Okay. And all of that ceased. And for like 400 or 500 years, nothing changed. It was agrarian society. Okay. And then we had, you know, the peasantry, and we had lords and everything else. But civilization went backwards. Language was really lost. Culture was lost. We didn't have the writings, okay? So it isn't as though we can't have another great reset.
Right. Yeah, and if that's what it is, oh, well, you know what? We need it. America needs the judgment of God. I mean,
America doesn't need the judgment. I think that America needs a revival.
Yeah, we need a revival because I think presently we are under the judgment of God. And I think at your church you're going to be talking about that movie, The Harbinger, where he says, you know, what was his name? Scott? Hahn? No.
Oh, Jonathan Cahn.
Yeah, he talks about how America presently is under judgment, and it is rolling out. And that if there is not revival and true repentance, I don't just mean people singing nice songs to make them feel good, but like real repentance and revival. Apart from that, it seemed to me from having watched that movie that he's saying probably not in the too distant future at all, America will be destroyed.
Oh, yeah. And the question has always been, as we study eschatology, why isn't the United States mentioned for as powerful of a country as a superpower that it is? Why isn't it mentioned?
Right.
And it's like, is it because they're pulled up in the rapture? Or is it because they've been dismantled? They've been absorbed?
Yeah. I think presently we are. Like we're talking about the communist movement.
Yeah.
The Marxists, cultural Marxists, you know, doing it without firing the shot. That's rolling out. And we're being destroyed in all of our institutions with all kinds of absolutely wacky ideologies. But also the southern border is wide open. I mean, what country does that? Has literally people from well over 100 countries marching on through. You don't even know who they are, and you're placing them all over the place. I mean, no, I'm not saying this as a xenophobe. I'm just saying this as not being somebody who's stupid.
Right, and why is it that any country would allow that? And I think The Harbinger and that movie really kind of opens that part of the discussion. And that is, it talks about when a people have pushed God out.
Right.
Okay. And then a vacuum is created. Back comes in the demonic world. And then all of a sudden, as the scripture talks about, there should be a great delusion.
Right.
What's happening in our society today? When you're talking about, well, what is a woman? You can't define it because in biology.
Right.
And you're thinking, where did this come from? This is more than just illogical. This is a great deception.
Yeah.
And so Kahn talks about in the harbinger of things to come, he says, United States has set itself up because it's pushed God out of the schools, out of the marketplace. And then what about the 60 million children that it has aborted?
Right.
And how is God going to allow a people to destroy the lives that he has created?
Yeah.
And he's created them for one purpose, for eternity.
Yeah.
And yet they have just like wiped them out.
And then genetic editing, combining animal DNA with human.
There's so much that's going on.
Yeah, and artificial intelligence.
Those are all things are what? To replace God, right?
Yeah, yeah.
We have a higher power.
And to destroy his creation.
And so when we look at the harbinger, he talks about that we see the first instance of God bringing judgment upon a country. And he uses the analogy that just as we can look at the Old Testament, and that's kind of what we talked about here, don't throw that away, because you're going to see how God dealt with Israel as a nation when they refused to walk with him and started worshiping foreign gods, how God allowed the enemies. Okay, he allowed the Babylonians to eventually come in and completely take out, you know, the southern kingdom. But before that, what group was it that came in and dispersed the ten nations? And
not the Assyrians.
The Assyrians, yes. The Assyrians came out and obliterated the northern kingdom because time in and time out, they worshiped foreign God and pushed God out. And he eventually says, okay. So what Jonathan Kahn does, he says, if you look at the United States, how it was formed, and that from everything from the Mayflower Compact, when they actually talked about how New York and that island was dedicated, that we would be historically a nation, the light of the world. And the scriptures, as he says, as you look at Israel's history and you look at the United States, what God did for Israel, and how he blessed them when they followed him, and then how he brought destruction on them when they did not. And you look at the United States as a unique place, as a city on a hill, to give light to the entire world. We can see the prosperity that this country has been blessed under. And we can also now anticipate the destruction and judgment that's going to come in the same way it came to Israel when we forsake God and push him out.
You know, another interesting comparison there between America and Israel was the movie Jonathan Kahn talked about. Tom Daschle, Senator Tom Daschle, a year after 9/11, quoted a scripture verse from Isaiah, but also President Obama wrote words to that effect on the antenna of the tower that replaced the Twin Towers. Both of them were, I forget, was it Isaiah 66? I forget. But anyway, saying that, in effect, we will rebuild. And so they meant that in a positive way. Look, we're using scripture. We will rebuild too, just like what the Israelites did. Not realizing the context of that passage in Isaiah, which was the Jews being defiant against God. Hey, God has brought in the Assyrians. Here's your warning. Repent. And instead, what do they do? No, we will come back better. We will build back better.
Yeah,
and so, nope, not so fast, because the next step, Babylonians are coming to completely wipe you out and take you away. So the idea was like, wow, what irony.
Yeah, that was John, you're right, John Edwards in 1 year after 9/11, and where he then read from Tom Daschle, when he talked about Isaiah chapter 9, verse 10, the very words, not knowing what he was reading.
Oh, do you have that up there?
Yeah, and if he actually would read those in the context, is exactly what you're saying.
Are you going to read it from a Catholic Bible?
No.
That's probably pretty close. Go ahead.
But I didn't pull the exact thing up, but the context in which you were saying that we will rebuild, God is saying you need to repent.
Right.
And they're saying, no, we're just going to dig down deeper and build taller.
It seems to me that is what America is doing.
So 9/11 was 9/11 was the wake-up call. It was the first shaking, like Jonathan Kahn talks about, that God does a shaking. And when New York was attacked, it was the gateway to this country. It represented the economic powerhouse. Yeah. They took out the Twin Towers, the World Trade Center.
The other thing that was so interesting in the parallel between Israel and America is he talked about the, not the oak tree, but whatever, the tree that
the
was
sycamore
built.
Tree.
Sycamore tree. Built in St. Paul's, you know, that was destroyed when the towers came down. And so in its place, what did they build? Some other kind of, or put in its place some other kind of tree, which they couldn't get it to grow, and it died in a year. Well, anyway, that's exactly what, in I think Isaiah again, what the Israelites did there. They had that very same tree, the sycamore tree, that was destroyed, and so they did replace it with exactly the same kind of tree that we replaced ours with. So yeah, I do recommend that movie. It has so many crazy details like that. So interesting.
He really does. He does, just as the you know, when you look at the history from Enemies Within the Church, that DVD, and talked about the Marxism and taking it back in time and seeing how everything worked, Jonathan Kahn does an exquisite job of detailing from 9/11, all the intricacies, where this country was founded, how New York City was its first capital, not Washington, D.C. And he does a very good detailed description comparing it with Israel, and that you can't walk away and say, oh, this is just circumstantial. You're talking, you know, about the tree that was destroyed, you know, the sycamore tree, and then the arist tree that was put in its place. We're going to put a stronger tree in. We're going to, instead of building with bricks, we're going to build with something more. And so what did they put in place of the Twin Towers? They built a tower which is stronger. Every country is recognized by its skyline. And we're reaching to the heavens. And God talks about in Jeremiah that those who are proud and reach for the heaven to become like God, he will strike down.
Yeah.
And the biblical prophecies that are fulfilled, Jonathan Kahn does a very good job. And again, he says this is a spiritual battle which is going on here, and where we can look at enemies within the state and say, okay, it's Marxism, it's communism. It's all, again, it's taken back in time that God and the enemies of his enemies are seeking to destroy everything he wants to do.
Another amazing parallel that I don't remember the details so well, but watch the movie, right? Jonathan Kahn, what was the name of the movie again? The Harbinger.
Yeah.
So he talks about in Jeremiah, where God showed Jeremiah the image that the Israelites, or the Jews, the head of the Jewish community, had up in their temple. And I think it was the sun god. And so that's what they were doing, is actually having this other image of this other god up, where they should have been worshiping Jehovah, right? And so he said, and so what happened here in America after 9/11? What is it that we put up? And they show in New York that what shone on that tower after it was rebuilt?
We remember
the god Kali.
Yeah. And Obama's writing is 8 words that was written in Hebrew in the Old Testament, 8 words that Obama wrote on that beam.
Yeah.
In essence, saying, we remember, we rebuild, we come back stronger.
Yeah.
The defiance that Israel had.
Yeah.
When God says, I'm bringing judgment, is the same defiance that America has after 9/11.
Yeah, so I mean, it's really strange where patriotism, I've always been patriotic. I mean, I think everybody should care to be a good citizen in their country, right? But more and more, what is, if America is coming to represent defiance of God and God's ways and persecution of God's people and of righteousness, no, I ain't on board with that.
No. Right? You know, and so in June of 26 of 2015, the Supreme Court redefined marriage. It struck down its ancient definition that God had set up.
Yep.
And you think God is just going to step back?
Right.
When Obama turns the White House and points the colors of the rainbow,
right,
indicating the support for LGBTQ, which was in defiance of how God defines man.
Yeah.
You don't think God sits back and says, oh, they don't know what they're doing?
Yeah, America is messing with the fundamentals of God's creation.
And God, and they know it's exactly what they are doing.
Yes, they know it.
And God will hold back, but eventually he will say, enough is enough. I will not be mocked.
Right.
And especially among his people.
Right. And what I'd hope for is if a further judgment of God comes, like I expect it will. I don't know if it's going to be, you know, a nuclear bomb or an EMP or just further continual disintegration, the collapse of the dollar through the central bank digital currency or BRICS, you know, where Brazil and Russia and India and China and Saudi Arabia all creating their own currency, leading us to a great depression.
Everything is lining up.
But you know what it could lead to? And what my hope is, does this mean that I'm in despair? Oh, no. Where's my retirement going to go?
Well,
I'm not looking for this world, okay?
I'm concerned about my retirement.
Well, I mean, okay, sir, I am. No, I don't like pain for pain's sake, right? I'm not a masochist. But do we really believe that our home is in heaven?
Yeah, but
so yes, we'll be
that.
A good citizen. I'm not saying be a pietist or a quietist or a separatist. I'm not saying any of that. I've already said no to that
stuff,
right? Yeah,
we can't be a pietist. We cannot sit back and not be engaged.
Yeah, because we have to be salt and light.
That's right, and we have to push back the gates of hell.
Right, but if it doesn't work, and I mean, like God told Jeremiah, you go to the people of Israel and you say this stuff. But I'm telling you right now, I'm going to set your head as flint against them because I'm telling you, they're not going to listen. And they're not going to repent. Now, you go be obedient. And you know what? They're going to persecute you for it, okay? So he suffered for it, and the results weren't there. But anyway, my hope would be that, you know, hey, I'm just going to be faithful. Whatever is going to happen, I don't know. But anyway, wouldn't it be cool, though, maybe this would happen? Maybe there would be some kind of cataclysmic event in whatever way. But it brings a remnant of Americans to true repentance, to true holiness, to worship Jesus.
Yeah, but let's,
and to love one another.
Right. And we definitely pray. And the reality is God does not simply do these things as a token. I'm just going to do it, and I'm still going to come down and judge America. He increases the severity of the shakings to be able to get more and more people's attention. And we're seeing that today. There are more and more people who are being waking up, okay, spiritually about what's going on.
Yeah.
Okay. And that more and more people are starting to take their faith seriously, as well as others are starting to slide away.
Right.
But God's intention is always not just to, like I said, do a token, you know, signs so people will repent. He wants people to repent.
Right.
He doesn't
want
to. That's exactly right. Yeah. And he will go to great extremes to be able to get a people's attention.
Right.
But it's not necessary.
No.
Not necessary.
Yeah.
All we need to do, and the message is always to his people.
Right.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves. In other words, see the signs and the wonders that are going. Humble yourselves and turn from your wicked way. Then I will heal your nation. We're not talking about LGBTQ people repenting. We're talking about God's people humbling themselves and saying, we're not going to rebuild stronger. We're going to submit ourselves to God.
Yeah, judgment begins in the house of God.
It does, and it begins by repentance, humbling ourselves. You know, there is this has gained so much momentum that it's a tsunami, and it's coming, and there's nothing we can do. And unless we realize how huge this is and call out to God and ask him to remember us and not to judge the righteous with the wicked, we are going to be swept away.
Right.
So there is hope, but the hope is in God's people. We cannot be pacifists.
Right.
We have got to get out there and be the salt and the light.
Well,
and
not meaning guns blazing. You're talking spiritually.
No, we're talking about the spiritual sword, God's word.
Right.
We're talking about being able to put everything on the line. We're talking about going onto social media instead of withdrawing, engaging people. You don't have to get into arguments on social media. All you need to do is start putting things out there that talks about the truth.
And you have to be led by the Spirit. I mean, obviously, we all have different kind of callings. And for the reason we got off of social media is just, we got sucked into the arguing and into seeing all the insanity. It just wore us out. And it's like, okay, we're going to save our energy for eye-to-eye, person-to-person.
If you get injured in the battle, you come back out and you get healed. And then when the healing's done, you go back in.
Yeah, if you should. I mean, for some people too, maybe
you can serve maybe
they can't.
Way.
It's like, avoid the near occasions of sin, right? So for some people too, though, it could be like, well, maybe you've had, let's say, a previous pornography addiction or something.
Right.
And
we're
so to get on some TikTok or whatever, it's like, whoa.
You never sit back and do nothing.
No, exactly.
That's my point. Okay.
Yeah, wherever
you may go back to the same battlefield. You may not serve in that capacity, but we have got to be militant in this fashion, that the gates of hell shall not prevail against us.
Right.
We shall take a stand and we shall march forward to take the ground that's been lost.
Yeah, we have to be we have to be willing and desirous to be God's means of grace to the lost.
You got to have words.
And even let's say, what if you're in a hospital bed laid up? Let's say you can't write. You can't type. You can't whatever. Okay, well then my guess is you're to be in spiritual warfare through intercessory prayer.
Oh, amen.
And that ain't no waste of time.
I think of my mother-in-law who was confined to her house. She couldn't drive, but every morning she had a list of her children, 11 children, 33 grandchildren, her great-grandchildren. Every morning she would pray for them and she would ask God to intervene. And she was engaging in the battle in that capacity, and it was great. It was needed.
Yeah. Yeah, that is being in the church militant.
Yes. I mean, so, hey, these books that we've discussed, and I encourage people to read them, the movies, Enemies Within the Church, it's eye-opening, it's documentary. And then Jonathan Cahn's, The Harbinger of Things to Come, all of those are sounding the alarm in different ways. But if you don't have to be a rocket scientist to be able to know there are alarms that are going off all over the place. So, all right. Well, God bless you, my friend. Thank you, Dan, for joining
me.
And having this time and talking about this. There's so much more until we get together again. God bless you, my friend.
Until we meet again.
Amen. Thank you, Dan.
Thank you.
Well, thank you for spending time to listen to today's podcast, the third in the series, Are You Woke? We hope you continue to tune in and don't drop out as we continue this conversation in the next episode. Until the next time, go out as God's ambassadors, commissioned to the world in desperate need of the gospel. God bless.